This episode is brought to you by emilynow.ca, the shortest distance between your business and the money that it needs. In less than 90 seconds, and seriously, you need to give this a try for yourself. In less than 90 seconds, you can create a profile, send your request to banks and lenders, and in less than 24 hours, they're going to let you know whether or not they're interested in trying to help your business or whether or not they're going to take a pass. So instead of meeting brokers, bankers, consultants, and spending your time bringing your photocopied PowerPoint presentation to each of them, go to MLENOW.ca and get started on accessing the capital that your business needs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. My problem, what is this trying to solve? Playing defense means your best upside is to not lose ground. Playing offense means your best upside is to gain ground.
What can your business do to 100x its revenue and profit?
All right, let's get started with this week's episode. I got lots of stuff to talk about today, and I'm really excited that either you downloaded this episode or that you're listening to it on your favorite device. A couple things I'm going to be talking about today. Google dropping out of a particular line of business that is near and dear to my heart, and I was sort of waiting for this to happen, so I'll explain what that means in just a moment. I'm going to talk about a farmer from rural Alberta who was able to get their products included in this year's Academy Award gift bag that goes out to the, I guess, actors and actresses that attend the ceremonies. And where to invest your money. Had a conversation with a friend, and the results of that conversation prompted me to want to chat this week about where you should be investing your money, which is hilarious because I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an investment consultant. I am Dylan Gallagher, the host of this blog. I'm a finance guy that has been working with entrepreneurs and business owners for more than 20 years. And I have to be honest, most of the work I do has been helping entrepreneurs and business owners get out of really bad situations, either with bankers or with investors or with poor businesses that are not performing the way they need them to be. And this podcast is a way for me to share some thoughts that you as the entrepreneur hopefully find helpful. My target or my goal, if you will, with each of these episodes is that it lands in the earbuds of an entrepreneur who really needed to hear something that either encouraged them to change their current situation or gave them some insight into how they can make a current problem go away that they're having and that they're facing. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was Google getting out of the site comparison business. And so for those of you that track this sort of stuff, I won't get into the technical part because I'm sure most of you won't care. But the fact that Google's getting out of a line of business is something that I think you as an entrepreneur, no matter the business you're in, you should care about. And so here's the deal. Google's a search engine. It's a box on a screen. You type in what you're looking for, and magically, it gives you a bunch of results. And so Google had attempted to move into the insurance business and the mortgage business in doing the same type of thing. You know, here's a bunch of websites. Here's a bunch of interest rates on either insurance policies and what their premiums were, or mortgages and what their interest rates were. And now they've decided they're going to get out of that business. And they're going to get out of that business because the consumers just don't really respond to it. It hasn't been the big cash cow that they thought it was going to be. And so here's kind of my take on it. And here's where it relates to your business, no matter what kind of business you're in, no matter what kind of product or service you offer. First of all, I believe that the days of punching something into a white box and then having to filter through a bunch of results on your own is kind of how people did the web years ago. I think if you pay attention to what's happening in the marketplace right now, customers want an experience. And I think where we can draw some parallels is back in the day in retail, you're going to the shopping mall or the strip centers. It was all about, you know, how can we create a store setting where customers have an experience. They don't just come in and flip through a bunch of clothes on a rack and pick out the one that they like and try to make a purchasing decision. Let's play some nice music. Maybe depending on the type of clothing store that you go to, you know, let's arrange mannequins in a certain way, and let's get some lighting and let's get some nice displays. And so when people walk into our store, they're not walking into a closet, but rather they're walking into an experience. We saw it recently with the advent or the invention of Starbucks and what's called the third space. So it used to be you went home, you went to work, and then you went home, and there was this space in between where you that didn't exist until Starbucks came along. And now not only do you go to work and go home, but most times you find yourself in a Starbucks or a setting like that where you are engaging socially with your friends and maybe work colleagues, or maybe you're even having business meetings there. But the whole point is that Starbucks really took the basic idea of a coffee shop where you go in to a counter, you order a coffee, and you walk out to this place where they play really trendy music. Some people find it annoying. I tend not to pay much attention to it, but the point is they play some nice music, they've got some food, they've got an ambiance about each of their locations. They've got somewhat nice furniture, although I think some of the Starbucks could use a little freshening up. But the point was, is it was an experience. It was, you simply had to show up, and if you showed up, they took care of the rest. In the retail business, it was the same idea. As long as you showed up, there's people in the store that could help you take care of the rest of the things that you needed. And for me, with Google, typing into a search box, you know, that's cool, but I don't think, or I haven't heard of anyone clicking through the 30th page of Google search results. I think statistically, most people search through maybe the first, the second, or the third page and then start to drop off. And the truth is, let's face it, there's just too much work to do on Google. When you search for something random, Google is now so full of results that we don't really have a way to get through them. And so if you look at apps like Uber or Airbnb, those are the two examples everyone always uses, it's the same type of thing, except that the apps or the software or these companies, Airbnb and Uber, are trying to now give you an experience. Press a button, a black car shows up at your house. Download the Airbnb app and see beautiful pictures of Aunt Betsy's house where she has a bedroom that you can rent for an evening. But the whole point is it's an experience. There's something that you, as the customer or the user, are experiencing that Google, on a white page with a black box that you put some information into, just doesn't satisfy. And so if you take that one step further into the insurance and mortgage comparison websites, it's the same thing. Users don't want to have to do any work. The truth is, technology has become so easy to use that the expectations for people have been, if you can't deliver to me what I want, I'm just going to move on to the next thing. And so, as much as maybe we don't like mortgage brokers or agents or insurance brokers or agents, the truth is, there's still an experiential part of what they do that we as consumers need. We do have basic questions. We do have things that we need to know before we make a purchasing decision. And simply comparing products side by side by side by side by side and having us choose the cheapest one for a product like mortgages or insurance, I just don't think works. I think the very obvious iteration of that idea is to give people an experience. And of course, at MLENOW, emilynow.ca, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give people an experience. So it's not just about having to sift through a bunch of options, but it's being able to, with the least amount of effort possible, get a lot of value for the time that you're about to invest without you having to do a lot of heavy lifting. And we're not perfect at it, but certainly we're trying very hard to get good at it. But take a look at your business. Try to understand for a minute, is this a business that is on the leading edge of giving customers an experience that they're going to come back and come back and come back, or if not come back multiple times, they're going to go and tell everyone they know to come back multiple times? Or is it just a business where you take orders? Basically, you take orders. You make some sales calls, you really try hard to pitch the value of your service, and then you hope you get that 20% conversion rate or that 10% conversion rate. If that's your business, chances are you don't have a great customer experience and you're probably stuck in an old way of doing business that even Google, even the experts like Google, have to get out of. And so I'm not suggesting if you're an entrepreneur or business owner that's struggling with getting some sales traction that that isn't you. I'm just suggesting that maybe there's a different way to look at it and you don't need to feel bad, because not only did Google not do it, they're going to be shutting down their web properties that just simply compare prices for people. So if you're an entrepreneur or business owner, the big takeaway is your customers absolutely need to be able to interact with you without a lot of friction. They can't become product experts. You can't sell them the product that you're or service that you're offering. You have to sell them the solution, and the solution has to be easy to take advantage of and to use and to basically call your bluff on. And so maybe that's you. Maybe as an entrepreneur today, you're listening to this episode and you're thinking, man, that's me. If I was listening to a sales call about my own product or service, I don't think I'd get very excited. Not only would I not get very excited, I'm not even sure there's like an experience in air quotes. I think all I'm doing is just selling them on the phone or in my email. I'm just giving them a brochure. That's not what it's about. You really got to give your customers an experience. You got to bring to them everything they need. So all they got to do is click a button. If they have to do anything more than that, they're going to move on or they're going to delay making the decision. So, okay, not going to keep kicking a dead horse. Hopefully you get the idea. What I'm really excited about today in particular is at mlenow.ca. There's a blog, so blog.mlenow.ca. And there's this awesome little rural company that makes jewelry. And we have talked about jewelry companies before on the blog. But this is a little unique because this particular entrepreneur, Kim, she was able to get her product into the Academy Awards gift bag. Now, when I first read that, I thought, well, that's interesting. Well, how did she do that? I mean, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm always curious about how entrepreneurs are doing really creative and interesting things. And if you read the blog that was posted by our social media manager, that's Christina, what you'll read is that Kim just asked. She just, hey, can I put some stuff in your bag? And it turns out that she sent over some designs, or as I understand it, she sent over some designs to the right people, and they agreed to include in the gift bag. So not only do you get a ton of traction off of that, and I mean, who gets to say that they're part of the Academy Awards? Well, now an entrepreneur in rural Alberta that makes jewelry gets to do that. But you also now get some bragging rights for doing something that many entrepreneurs often don't do, which is quote unquote taking big risks. I mean, now that we have an example, we can say, oh, it's simple. Of course, anybody can do that, except not anybody is doing that. Kim was the one who found a way to get her products inside of this Academy Awards Oscar gift bag. And there's lots of entrepreneurs creating jewelry, trying to do the same thing that didn't. And so that gives her some bragging rights. But I also want to talk about the business a little bit. And I think that as I talk more about various topics on these podcasts, I'm trying to make sure that we can offer a lot of value to entrepreneurs and business owners that are trying to make their business better, that are trying to help make their business do more, whether that's save money or come up with money to invest in growth or being able to give their money back to the community around them. We want to help entrepreneurs do more. And so there's two types of businesses. There's a lifestyle business, and then there's a business that has some real growth prospects to it. And the difference between those two businesses is that a lifestyle business never really gets outside the reach of the individual entrepreneur or owner. And it's a business that it's called a lifestyle business because the entrepreneur can work as hard, as much or as little as they want and get the lifestyle that comes with that effort versus a business that scales where at some point the business gets outside the reach of the entrepreneur, and now they have to start to bring people on to help them maintain the level of activity and continue to grow towards the next level. Now, as an entrepreneur, it's important to understand which type of entrepreneur are you. Are you an entrepreneur that is building a lifestyle business where you never want it to be outside the reach of your own hands? Or are you building a business that ultimately you're going to scale and either take public or sell and cash out of? And there's no right or wrong answer. I mean, that's the great part about being an entrepreneur is you can find a niche, find an opportunity, go in, work really hard, make some money, and then maybe call it a day or sell it. So in this particular case, on the surface, it would seem that Kim has a lifestyle business. Lifestyle businesses tend to be highly sensitive to the entrepreneur. So when we talk about jewelry, jewelry is a business that is highly sensitive to the entrepreneur's imagination and their particular skill set, the ability to come up with certain designs, the ability to understand what materials to use, the ability to understand how they want it to be perceived in the marketplace. those are all job tasks that don't easily get handed off to other people. And I don't even think I've mentioned the name of this business yet. The name of the business is Farm Wife Style. I mean, that's an amazing name for a business owner in rural Alberta who happens to have their product in an Academy Awards gift bag. That's amazing. Farm Wife Style. So Farm Wife Style makes jewelry, driven by the designs that Kim obviously has a lot of influence in creating. And in this particular business, the trick really is to make sure that you've got healthy margins. And what I mean by that is many entrepreneurs will discount the time it takes them to do something. And so if you're a lifestyle entrepreneur, as it would appear that Farm Wife Style is, in terms of a business, that you'll say, okay, my materials cost me X amount of dollars and I can sell it for Y, and therefore my profit margin is Z. But the truth is, many entrepreneurs won't factor in their own time. So they won't say that it takes me, in Kim's case maybe, it takes me 20 hours to produce a piece of jewelry, and at $100 an hour, that means that my time is worth $2,000. Did I do that math right? 20 times 100? Yeah. Plus the cost of my materials, and then I mark it up 30% or 40%, and that's what I sell it for. So what I've often noticed with lifestyle businesses is that the entrepreneurs, because it's their business that they've got their hands around, they tend to really discount the amount of profit that they're leaving on the table, or maybe the mistake that they're making in how they price their product. So my advice would be, my opinion would be that lifestyle businesses should be priced, the service or product should be priced really high and should cater to a very, very niche group of customers that are prepared to pay for the amount of time, effort, energy, and creativity that would go into that particular product or service. And in Kim's business, it would mean that the jewelry would be high priced and would cater to a select group of people. Now, I know that that isn't the type of jewelry that Kim makes. I know that she makes affordable, attractive jewelry. And depending on the scale, depending on how many pieces that she can produce and how much of her own time can be spread out over the various pieces so that she can recover her time, then that works too. But not factoring in the cost of the entrepreneur's time is often a big miss with lifestyle businesses that is an opportunity to simply be more profitable. And not profitable from a greed perspective, but profitable from the ability to simply have more resources, capital, to be able to make more product and put it in the hands of more people that will appreciate what it is that you're doing. So anyway, obviously big win for Kim and Farm Wife Style. If you're an entrepreneur, probably the big takeaway for you, if you just listen to me ramble here in the last couple of minutes, is take a big risk. Go do something big to get visibility for your product, and you never know what might happen. And I can assure you, if you follow along in the blog or you like our Facebook page at emilynow.ca, that we're going to be posting some updates, and who knows, maybe Kim will let us know kind of how it went or what happened with this opportunity, and maybe she'll share some of that wisdom with whomever wants to hear it. So the last thing I wanted to talk about was I was having a conversation with a really good friend of mine, and he actually called me and he said, "Hey Dylan, you know, it turns out my wife and I, we've got some money, we want to invest it. Not really sure what's happening in the market. What do you think?" And I said, "Well, I don't know why you're calling me. I'm not an investment guy. I'm a finance guy. I'm an entrepreneur." And as we got talking about it, the conversation kind of rolled out a little bit, and he's in the construction business and times are a little bit tough, but he had some money. And I said, "You know, probably the best thing to do is to become an entrepreneur." "I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm risk adverse. I don't like taking risks. Being an entrepreneur seems very risky." I mean, all the kind of the classic responses that people who don't want to be entrepreneurs give. But I said to him, "Look, okay, maybe you don't want to be an entrepreneur, but you're in the construction business. You know equipment. Why don't you go out and buy a piece of equipment? So whatever amount of money you have, go and buy a piece of equipment and then put the equipment to work. And who knows? Maybe you'll be able to take that equipment, generate some business that'll repay you the money that you put in, and then Now you'll have this asset, this piece of equipment that you can keep renting out or bringing out on the weekends or evenings to do some work with and make some money. And that probably will be a better return than investing it in the stock market and trying to pick a stock or trying to give it to a fund manager or a mutual fund that's going to take some management fees. I mean, he wasn't talking a lot of money, but enough that for him, it was a pretty significant decision that it merited giving me a call. And it just reminded me that as entrepreneurs, our job is to put resources to work. And in this particular case, one of my good friends, in fact, I just found myself talking to him about maybe buying something and putting it to work or finding a business that maybe he could put some money into that needed it, that could turn it into some profit for him. And he's in a small community as well. And so as we got talking, he did ramble off a few businesses he knew that either he could buy outright or use his money to help purchase a business over time. And maybe that would be his better return. So anyway, maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I've done fairly well. I'm looking to diversify or do something different, or I'm on the other side of my career. I'm an entrepreneur, but I sold my business, and what should I do now? Well, maybe putting that money back to work with other entrepreneurs, or putting that money to work in some opportunity in the market that you can keep your hands on would be the best place that you could do that. So I appreciate you listening to this episode. I sure hope it was worth your time. So whether you're Google or you are me, entrepreneur, trying to start a business, remember, you've got to create an experience for your customers. Kim over at Farm Wife Style teaches us that you never really know if an opportunity exists until you chase it down. And if you've got some money kicking around, maybe the best thing to do is put it into an entrepreneurial venture that will pay dividends. So until the next episode, hopefully we see you at emilynow.ca or we interact with you on our Facebook page. And look forward to having you join us on the next episode.